Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and I'm really happy to be on the air today. We're all over the world now, and we're going to be talking about, we're going to continue the sixth chapter, the certain portion of the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and talking about the whole armor of God, and how the last broadcast I mentioned that chapter 10, verse 10 of the book of John. And we have some letters to read, and then we're going to be doing reading unless the Lord takes a hold of my tongue and has me just keep going like he did on the last tape. We're going to be reading how to have God's life living in you. Now, I've taught on this for a good many years now, and this is a piece of literature that I've written many years ago, crossing the bridge from this from the carnal world into the spiritual realm. I've written a tract, piece of literature called Crossing the Bridge. You know, we cannot be carnal and enter into the kingdom of heaven. We must cross the bridge from this carnal, sinful life where we can't do anything but sin. We can't please God at all. We have to cross the bridge and get into the spiritual realm by the power of God in us, by the Holy Spirit, Christ with the Father, by the Spirit living in us. And then we're able to, God is able to do his work in us then. He can't work in us unless he's in us. All right? Amen. Okay, so, and then we have several letters here. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint outwardly this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name that you've given this ministry to us. And we pray, Lord, that you'll anoint this everything today, this message, and that whatever is to be said, that it comes directly from your throne, directly from you. Because anything that is other than you, Lord, is not life. You are the way, the truth, and the L-I-F-E, the life. And, Lord, that we are able to live eternally by just surrendering our entire life to you. And we're able to have life and life more abundantly right here on this earth while we're here, if we continue on in the faith. So, Lord, we ask that you lift up the church and that you let millions of people, or however many you want to add to the church, that they are all saved today and are all strengthened today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. You have letters.
Yes.
Where's the first one from?
From Palestine, Texas.
You people pray for me because I'm losing my voice. I just need a little rest here. Go ahead. I've been working pretty hard, working on the building. Amen.
Amen.
It's a firm foundation. Go ahead. Where's it from, Palestine? Where?
Texas.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony, I read your newsletter entitled Mass Suicide. I am totally shaken. Thank you for your blunt honesty. I believe the, quote, sugar-coating, unquote, on the travesty the world has become is what Satan uses to his advantage. He makes us think it's all right. Thanks to pastors like you, John Hagee, and Pastor Parsley, people like me are getting the truth. If it's possible, could you send me a copy of your book, The Messiah? You say here that this book reveals Christ of the Old Testament in over 333 prophecies. I would like to see this for myself. It sounds very interesting. I also notice you offer a place to live to all who want to serve the Lord. Could you please send me any information on this?
Well, the information on that is just simple. We just have churches in several different places, and we have living facilities. And we're on the continuously building more and more facilities because people are coming from different parts of the world to join us here. Really, I try to get people to stay where they're at and distribute the literature there because, especially in these Africa and India, where there's so much darkness, but it's being illuminated there. But the people that want to come, I will not. I pray about it, and if the Lord really wants me to come, we'll. You can come, all right? And the facilities are nice; they're not elaborate. You know, we don't have any Vatican huge hallways or anything. They're just a houses and apartments and things like that. But everything is nice and the food is good, and that's important, and you're taken care of. If anything, there's a problem, we do everything we can in our power and the power of the Lord to help you. As long as you keep the rules at the church, everybody has rules. So continue on, please.
Also, if you have a correspondence Bible course, please enroll me.
Well, the correspondence Bible course is simply the literature that I've written. I've written hundreds of pieces of literature, and I do these tapes. I've done literally thousands of tapes, and you can have them free of charge. That's all there is to it. All right, then what else?
I am in jail awaiting trial. No matter what happens, it would comfort me to know that I have a Christian place to go upon release.
Oh, brother, I mean, if you're a true Christian and you're full of zeal to serve the Lord, this is your home. You can consider we're your brothers and sisters over here, all right? Don't you worry about that. You've definitely got a place. All right, then what else?
Thank you once again, Pastor Alamo. Grace and mercy. Signed, Leah from Palestine, Texas.
Okay, praise the Lord. What's the next letter from? Where is that from?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor, I am very grateful to communicate to you that I have accepted Christ as my personal Savior on January 1st, 2006, after reading through your literature with the title The Messiah, including a lot of quotations in it, when I moved to a church to have the booklet. The reason was that I had been a traditionalist for about 15 years, and I have now realized and see the light of the world. The only way to go to heaven is to accept Christ as your Savior and follow His commandments. I now believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. As of now, I don't have any Bible and prefer if you could send me a Holy Bible. I want to read more about Jesus Christ, so try and send one Bible and other books. May God richly bless you. Yours in Christ, Simon, from Western Region, Ghana, Africa.
So he was saved through the booklet Messiah?
Yes.
All right, see, there's just like thousands of people, maybe millions, are being saved from this piece of literature that the Lord gave me, okay? Then what?
The next letter's from Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, first and foremost, I would like to say thank you for the work which you are doing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus. My deep appreciation for your labor of love in the regular supply of the truly God-inspired and God-anointed Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletters. Truly, wells of living water in a dry and thirsty land. Thank you for years of encouraging and faith-building sermons and teaching materials that help me and the people of God in a tremendous way. The newsletter is a great blessing to me and to others. It has been an inspiration to my Christian life and prayer life. I am praying for your ministries so that it must be fully supported. The newsletters have been giving me a lot of materials for our discipleship classes since I am working as a missionary in the part of the city of Ndola where people are still very backward in spiritual matters. This has kept me in focus with God. The newsletters have built and motivated those disciples who can read and write to grow rapidly toward Christian maturity. The number of those disciples reading these articles have increased from 25 to 33. Praise be to God for His sufficiency. Accept my appreciation. I am blessed and inspired by this special paper. It has been used by the Lord to wake me up from my spiritual slumber and prayerlessness. The messages of the newsletters have continued to be a great encouragement to me, lifting me out of several pits of life. I am encouraged, counseled, and challenged in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I am writing to ask you, if possible, that you can send to me the Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletters monthly and some other literatures of books, including the book entitled The Messiah, and a Bible and tapes for my use in my church and to unbelievers. I love and appreciate you. God richly bless you. Yours faithfully, Pastor Daniel from Ndola, Zambia, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. Is that all the letters?
Yes.
All right, then we have three or four more verses that we need to finish off from yesterday's broadcast regarding putting on the full armor of God, because Satan is here to steal your salvation by lying about the people that are preaching the gospel, to kill their testimony so that your soul will be lost, and to destroy our testimonies by lying about us, so that your soul will be lost. Everything that Satan does is to destroy your soul. Now, I'm saved, and the reason I'm saved and so steadfast is because God put a lot of fear in me, and also by showing me that God really does exist, by showing me visions, dreams, signs, and wonders, and the way he leads, guides, and directs me every day. And he'll do the same for you because he's no respecter of persons. And he can use you if you're going to be zealous to receive eternal life. You have to want it. You have to discipline yourself, you know, to do what he says to do if you want to have life, immortality. Because if we don't, we're not going to make it. And if you don't, it's just, it's too horrible to spend eternity in hell. You don't want that. Let me advise you not to receive that. Don't believe anything people are saying about us, because you hear all these letters coming in. These people are receiving eternal life through the gospel that the Lord gave me to write about and to preach. And that's what it's all about. I'm not preaching me. Even if I was all the things that they say, which absolutely I am not, you still need to believe on Jesus. And if you think that, anyway, they've destroyed my testimony in your sight, then believe in Jesus. Read the Bible and then believe in him, okay? I'm not asking you to believe in me, okay? I can't save your soul. God, if he speaks through me and he's telling you the truth, you receive it, okay? Forget about me. If you don't receive the things I'm saying, why don't you read the Bible and see if I'm telling you the truth or not? All right? I'm not asking you for any money. I'm not asking you for any money. What am I going to get from you? We're spending thousands of dollars every month to get this gospel out. And I'm not doing it for money. Folks, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I own a Beatles album that I've never released before. I got it from Pete Best because I did the promotion for him. I did the promotion for Sonny and Cher, for Pete Best of the Beatles. I've done parts of promotion for Elvis Presley and for the Beatles. And, you know, and Pete Best himself, and Best of the Beatles, and for many other different stars, and for different products and so on. And if I wanted, I'm not in the ministry for money. If I wanted to have money, I just sell my Beatles album and some of the other albums that I have, like on The Undertakers, which were the number three group in the world, and some of these masters, and Bobby Jameson would definitely take off today in today's market. If and I know the record industry, folks, so don't think I'm doing this for money. I wouldn't do this if I was unsaved. I wouldn't do this for love nor money. There's no way you could get me to come out against the world government if just for the sake of your souls, because before I was saved, I could have cared less about your soul. But now that I am saved and I fear the Lord, I'm out to win your soul and to use all the convincibility that I have within me to get the gospel to you. I know that I convince people to buy. I'm the one that started the 20 original hits, so you can't buy it in the stores. Then KTEL Records copied me because they got tired of doing it. I just found myself going to the post office, picking up the money, and then taking it to the bank, and then going to the post office and picking up the money and taking it to the bank, you know, and also making sending this electrical transcription, the commercials, to different radio stations all over the country and to TV stations. Then KTEL Records, when I stopped doing it, KTEL Records several years later copied me. And now Warner's, Time Life Warner's is copying me. They bought Rhino Record Company, which is an oldie but goodie record company. And they had all these oldies but goodies, and that's how they're able, Warner Brothers is able to put out so many oldies albums and give you like 140 or whatever it is. They've beaten me for sure, but I'm the one that gave them the idea of how to sell records. Before, people never sold records over the air like that. They went to 33 distributors in the country and sold them, and let them put them on the air and put them in record stores. But I bypassed the record stores, and the distributors got lazy. They didn't want to promote the records that I came out. So I came up with this idea of how to sell records. And so, you know, I know how to sell records. I could say, hey, there's this an unreleased Beatles album. It's never been heard before. You know, it's available, not in stores, over the air. Yeah, but you must act now and all this stuff. It's only $9.99 or something like that. You know, I know I'd sell about a million, and that's $10 million. People say it would make $100 million. But I'm not interested in money. I'm interested in your soul. And why? Because the Lord gave me, he lives in me, and he's interested in your soul. He was so interested in your soul that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood so that your sins could be forgiven. And then he resurrected from death, hell, and the grave to prove to you that he was and is still God, so that you could have confidence and great hope that if he raised from the dead, that you too, if you have God living in you, Christ with his Father by the Spirit, that you're going to raise from the dead on the last day. If the same Spirit of God that lived in Christ, that resurrected Christ from the dead, lives in you, the Bible says, then you also will raise from the dead on the last day to everlasting life. God's going to open the graves of everybody on that day. And he says there's going to be some to everlasting life and some to everlasting destruction. Now, everlasting destruction means that they're never going to really be destroyed. They're just going to be destroyed every second of every... Of course, there won't be time anymore, but just throughout eternity. And you're not going to like it. So I implore you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, to listen to the gospel and do what it says. All right, now let's do these last, what is it, three verses?
Yes.
From the sixth chapter of Ephesians. I'll give you a little time to look it up. And it's verse what?
16.
Verse 16 in your King James Version Bible. All right. So y'all got your pages? Well, let's see now. Out there in the world, I can't hear you. Okay, so we'll just assume that you've got that place in the Bible. Because I don't want you to think that I'm making this up. I want you to read it for yourself from God's Word. Okay, go ahead.
Above all, taking the shield of faith.
Why above everything else, all these other armor parts, would God say for you to take above all the shield of faith? Why? Because by faith you're saved. Without faith, you can't be saved. And by faith, you're healed. By believing God's Word, you're healed. And by faith, if you're really full of faith and you're doing the work of the Lord, that you'd have to be full of faith to do it, then whatsoever you ask, it shall be given to you as long as it is according to the Lord's will. And a lot of times, you know, we've been in desperate trouble, and I've prayed to the Lord, and he has delivered me. And if you read the book of Psalms, you see how God has delivered David time after time, time after time. By all rights, anybody else would have been killed. But he died in his own bed. Amen?
Amen.
He went on to be with the Lord. Okay, then what?
Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Okay, now the wicked are going to tell all kinds of lies about different preachers to you. Now, a lot of them are not right. But what they're going to do is tell lies about the real ones. They're going to... You don't see them telling lies about the false ones because Satan wants them to stay on the air. But we were kicked off the air because we were too powerful. We were just, you know, pulling the lid off of every evil thing in the government and of churches and the false churches and all this. And we pulled the lid off it, and you can see it's like a barrel full of worms, you know, festering down there. And so when you do that, then Satan's going to come out against you with both barrels. And that's what's happened. When I came out with a piece of literature entitled The Pope's Secrets, I mean, millions of people came against me from the Vatican. And I had the shield of faith on, and the vicious things that they said are the fiery darts from Satan. Read that thing, that verse again.
Okay. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
It didn't say 99% of the fiery darts, did it?
No.
It says there's like not, if there's 100 million different lies shot in against you, he doesn't leave even one lie that you won't be able to withstand. All the hundreds of millions of lies, you can ward off or quench them if you have faith. Okay, it's because by faith you stand. Amen?
Amen.
And without faith, you can't receive anything from the Lord. All right, so I've been able to stand all these years, even through being falsely accused to the point of being thrown in prison and all the other false accusations. And, you know, it's the faith works. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, just like the Bible says. So you'll be able to stand against all the fiery darts, the wiles of Satan, every fiery dart that he shoots, every fiery lie that he tells about you. You'll know, hey, I'm saved. You know, I've got on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You can't fire anything at me that's going to make me think that I'm unscriptural, because I'm right on the scriptures, 100%, all right? So, you know, nothing that you can say is going to stop me. Nothing that Satan in you that are of the devil out there, you can't stop me. With your lies, with your character assassination, I've got the shield of faith, all right? This must frustrate the devils out there. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, and then what else?
Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit.
Yeah, see, I've got the helmet of salvation on. I know I'm saved. I've got the mind of Christ, and there's nothing that can depress me to the point of throwing in the towel. Ever since I've been saved, the very first day I got saved, every devil in hell has been against me and against my wife, Susie. Who was in the ministry with me. And the Lord took her on in April 8th, 82. She was eaten up with cancer for 17 years. I had that to contend with. We were married 17 years, and then she died. And then I had to take the entire dose. She escaped that. But we had a lot of hellish, evil things said about us for 17 years. I mean, I never seen anything like it in my life. We've got like boxes full of newspaper articles on us, and it's all geared to kill your soul, to come to kill your soul, destroy it, and to just destroy. Kill and destroy. Amen?
Amen.
Lie about, kill and destroy. That's what Satan comes for. There isn't anything else that he does. Now, you take these people that are saying bad things, what do they do that's good? They dedicate their life to destroy the Word of God. And it's not hurting me, because I've got the shield of faith. The only one that's getting hurt are the people that believe them. That's you. If you believe them, whatever you do, don't believe them. If you want to know, ask questions, ask me. I'll be glad to tell you. In the churches are filled full of people that bring false accusations against one another. And so that's why the Lord says, I always tell them, okay, here's some different messages that come in on people that they did this or that. And I always say, okay, have the person counter it. Because there's two sides to every story, amen?
Amen?
And some of the ridiculous lies that are told by people that are supposed to be Christians in the church is just absolute. It just blows my mind, because I read them and I can't believe, why are they in this church? And then I remember how Satan enters into different churches. He doesn't come into religions, because he already got them. He doesn't have to attack them. He's got them just where he wants you or them. But what he does is goes into born again of the Spirit, on fire, devoted, straightforward type of people to go in there and just lie about everything, just everything that they do. And so be careful now. The Lord says for you to take heed how you hear. All right, then what?
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Right, you've got to fight back with the Word. If I didn't tell you what Satan does, then we'd have a lawless society. There's so many of these phony Christian works that feel that they shouldn't say anything bad against anybody. Like I saw Billy Graham and this Joel Osteen on television being interviewed by, what's this interviewer?
Larry King.
Larry King says, he was asking them questions, you think that homosexuals will go to hell? And Billy Graham says, I don't know. Joel Osteen said the same thing. If they don't know, then what are they doing preaching? Amen? Let me tell you, let Larry King put me on. Now, he won't do that because he knows what my answer will be. I'm an open book. I come out just like the Bible says. Yes, homosexuals will go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Anyone that sins, it doesn't make any difference. A lot of people say, well, why did God make homosexuals? Let me tell you something. God did not make homosexuals. Homosexuality, just like any other demon, possesses people, like a demon of adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, lesbianism. These are all demons. And maybe the demon entered into this person when they were babies. Or they are influenced greatly by what people say. Just like a lot of people out there in the world. They don't receive what we say because they've heard lies. Somebody told me where we're all homosexuals. I'll tell you one thing, friend. I'm not, okay? I'm not a homosexual. I've never had homosexual desires. Well, you may say, I've been hit with these homosexuals. Yeah, Satan's going to hit you with everything. Amen? He's going to throw in the kitchen sink, too. He's going to tell you you're a cockroach. You want to believe that? He's telling you that you're a monkey, that you evolved from monkeyhood. You want to believe that? If you want to believe you're a monkey, fine, but God says I'm a human. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you can believe you're a monkey. If you want to be a monkey, be one. Amen? And be a good one, okay? But I'll tell you, you're receiving from Satan. Monkeys don't have souls. They're not going to heaven. They can't be saved. They can't receive the gospel. Dogs, cats, all these things. Some people love the animals more than they do the human beings. But the Lord died for humans. Amen?
Amen.
What, is a dog going to believe in the gospel? He doesn't know what you're talking about. Amen? And a monkey doesn't either. Now, some people, you say, well, I'm a monkey. Well, you know, I guess you want to be a monkey. You're a homosexual. That's why the Lord says you need to be, you were born a monkey, okay? Then you need to be born again so that you can be of the Lord, okay? A member of the Lord's body. That's why it says you must be born again, because Satan could tell you that you're anything. You know, maybe you're a dinosaur, that you're going to come back as an owl or something. But you know something? Reincarnation is nothing more than demons that have been in other people before, and then they jump into your body. Like, for instance, there's some people that they say, I lived in China before because I never studied Chinese language, and I can speak Chinese very well now. Or I never studied pharmacy or pharmaceutical about medicine or how to concoct different potions and things. And all of a sudden they walk, they get drunk, and they go into a pharmacy. They actually open the door somehow, or they get in there, and they go behind the counter, and they start making things together. They found out that a man that worked in the pharmacy died. He had a drunken spirit, and this spirit entered into somebody that never was a drunk before, and he worked at that same pharmacy, and he went in there and started concocting things. These are body hoppers. They hop from one body to another. When a person dies, if you have the same weakness that the person that died has, you know, well, I don't know, what is a drunkard? I might be a drunkard. I'd like to taste it. And that spirit enters into you, and you just are compelled to drink. And you can speak Chinese, because the demon that was in the body of this Chinaman jumped into you. All right? So you need to be born again. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit into you, that Chinese demon that you treasure so much will be cast out. If you keep it, you'll go to hell. If you keep this drunken spirit, you'll go to hell. If you keep the homosexual spirit, you'll go to hell. If God, which is by the Spirit, with his Father by the Spirit, enters you, then you will be delivered from your homosexual desires and your lesbian desires. It'll leave you. But if you just start, if you keep yourself idle, if you're not gung-ho for the Lord, well, that homosexual demon will come back to you, the lesbian demon, and it'll take you over. Because your mind is not stayed upon the Lord. Your mind is stayed upon wickedness. Many people that get saved fall away, and the Bible says that just before Christ comes back to earth again, that there'll be a great falling away. And that's happened. It's now you see these large groups of people. Some of them are saved, and some of them are not. They're believing false doctrines. And so they become the Antichrist church. They won't have anything to do with a real strong church of the Lord. They want to hear the flowery, beautiful things, and then they say that no one is perfect, which is a dirty lie, because God commands that we are perfect or we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, and that God loves you unconditionally, and so just don't worry about anything. This is a lie. With God, everything is conditional. And they just go on with one thing after the other. Can you think of any other false doctrine that they say? Once saved, always saved? Isn't that a false doctrine?
Yes.
That we don't have to do any works, that the Lord did it all, and so we just need to just have fun? You ever hear that doctrine?
Yes.
And how to live everyday life just to have fun and so on, and go to the movies and so on. No, the Lord wants us to keep our minds stayed on Him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, give me the next one. These are fiery darts that people are firing at you to cause you to disbelieve the Word of God and to make it look as though there's not enough love in this ministry, a ministry that tells you the truth. But love, the Bible tells us, is the keeping of God's commandments. It's not fornication or adultery. It isn't huggy and squeezy and kissy type stuff. This is taboo. This is like to think that that's what it is false doctrine. And Jesus said, I love them that keep my commandments. He said, you are my friend if you do everything I say. But what are we if we don't do everything he says? His enemy. He says, all those that are not with me are against me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, are you with the Lord today? If you're not, I suggest that you do, and the Lord commands that you do, that you're with him. All right, so continue on.
Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Are you praying always? If you're committing lesbianism or homosexuality, are you disbelieving God's word when God says that the homosexuals will spend eternity in hell and that they're worthy to be put to death? In the New Testament, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, read it for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
So I don't know. Maybe I should, Billy Graham and Joel Osteen should come over here and let me teach them. He says he's the best, Joel does. But I tell Joel that you're the worst for saying such a thing as that. He says, well, I'm the best. No, the Lord says you're the worst. I'm not calling you any names. The Lord calls you the names. Anyone that preaches any other gospel than the gospel that we, the Apostle Paul said, have preached to you, he is accursed. Amen?
Amen.
Let him be called accursed. If you're preaching that homosexuality, lesbianism, drunkenness, and it's all right, you don't have to do any work, and that God just loves everybody unconditionally, you have received a lie, And by you saying that, you're a liar. You just have received a lie, and you have become a liar by repeating it. All right, and then what else?
And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
It doesn't say with 99% perseverance. Amen?
Amen.
To watch 100% with all perseverance and what?
And supplication for all saints.
Supplication. And you have to pray for all saints. Do you do that? If you don't, you're not following what the Lord says. Are you praying for all saints? I think not. You don't even stand with them when they're under fire from the devil. But thank God I have the full armor of God, and I have been able to take every one of the fiery darts and continue on preaching the gospel. And it, you know, and also to help people spiritually, physically, financially. And if you don't even, we help people that they don't even support their own children. And they don't want to get healed because some of them actually figure that they're going to lose their welfare check. If that isn't sick, I don't know what is. All right? All right, now let's get into this piece of literature that the Lord gave me several years ago, How to Have God's Life Living in You. Now, there's a large evangelist, a woman that says, she read one of my tracts, she said, I didn't know that God was supposed to be living in you. She says, my pastor never taught that. And then she looked at the screen, because she'd read one of my tracts, it's obvious, and she says, God gave it to you, and I'm using it. And I said, like as if I cared. I want all you evangelists and preachers out there to use the things that God has given me. Because you're saving me a lot of money by not going on television. We have been invited to be on television, and as soon as we, these people that shoot the tapes come over, we have a TV facility at our church near the Texarkana area, and we also have a recording studio there. If any of you people out there in radio or TV land or listen to me and you want to be an in-house operator of our digital television, we're in an area where this equipment that we have is so new that nobody knows how to use it, and it's for sure I don't. And if you'd like to come into our church and record our television programs, be my guest. Just let me know how much you want. And, you know, we have, I'll provide a house for you and a salary and all the food you can eat. All right? And plus, we'll take care of you. You know, if you need, you don't have to live right on the church property. We have houses in Texarkana that you can live in, and all sorts of things. All right, so we'll give you all the benefits. Otherwise, we're waiting for this other TV crew that is up in Little Rock, and they do mainly sports shows and things like that, and they're not always available. But we've been offered to be on 7 major television networks, and that just amazed me because they kicked us off the air many years. We were on for 10 years, and then we were getting a little bit too graphic for them, and they just didn't have time any longer. But now they're opening up the doors for it, so I guess it's time. You know, people are starting to realize that people better hear the truth, and there's so few people that teach it. And I just praise and thank the Lord for the opportunity to even be on the air right now. All right, what's the name of this piece of literature?
How to Have God's Life Living in You.
Okay, let's begin.
The Bible tells us that if a person is going to heaven, they must have God's Spirit living in them, since God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom.
Right, in a sense, God's Spirit is God. God is the Spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him with their spirit. You have to communicate to the Lord with your spirit, and then He communicates back to you with His Spirit. We go up to the throne in His Spirit. We're actually sitting with Him in heavenly places, the Bible says. And we are sitting in the best vantage point in the entire universe because we're on top of everything. We're up there with the Lord, sitting with Him, because we are His body. Amen?
Amen.
And so it's a spiritual kingdom, and we're able to talk to the Lord. When we get saved, the middle wall of partition is broken down between us and God. And God's hand comes down, the Lord Jesus Christ takes our hand and he puts it in the hand of the Father. And we're now united to the Father by the Spirit. All right? So, Jesus is God. God is Jesus. Jesus is God the Son. And he is the power and wisdom of God. And so, why? Because there's no other wisdom that can get your soul saved other than through believe on Christ. And when you believe on Christ, well, then the hand, Christ, you believe the gospel, the middle wall of partition is taken down, and you now can reach out to God by the Spirit, which is the hand, your hand, uniting with the hand of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so you're together now. Okay? You're free from the bondage of sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And God holds on to you now and lives in you and gives you the strength that you need to be able to do everything that he says. And this means that you're perfect. All these people that are saying no one can be perfect or no one is, they haven't, the middle wall of partition has not been broken down by them. That isn't God's fault, that's their fault, because they don't believe the gospel. But if they believe the gospel, then the middle wall comes down, the separation between you and God, it just comes down, even stronger than the wall over there in Berlin. And all of a sudden you can communicate with East Berlin and West Berlin and so on. You're communicating with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and his hand is in yours and your hand is in his, and his Spirit is in you. The full Godhead is in you, and you can now do all things through Christ. You have the grace or the power of God to do all that he says. The grace or the power of God means that you're able to do, God is able to do all these godly things in and through you, because he's in you and his hand is in yours. His hand is in yours. His Spirit is inside your spirit. You have everlasting life. You are saved from hell. You're saved from the fiery pit of hell and the lake of fire. You're now going to be able to live eternally in the kingdom of heaven with Christ and with your loved ones that were saved before you. What a reunion that's going to be when we go there. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
All right, now let's hear the rest here.
If a man has the Spirit of God in him, he is a Christian, and God's Word calls him the temple of God.
He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Not just a fictitious one, but an entirely new creature. The things you did before, you hate. And the things you hated before, you now love. Oh, how I hated to hear about the gospel or anything, because nobody really told me the truth, the complete truth. But when the Lord came down and got me, I was so happy to know that God really existed. Okay, keep going.
The Word of God tells us that all the millions of people who had the Spirit of God living in them from the beginning up till now are called Christians, the building of God.
Yes, we are the building of God, the body of Christ. It's also called the body of Christ. It's the corporate body, a corporate body of Christians that compose the body of Christ. Just like it says in the second chapter of Daniel, it says the stone, in other words, which is Christ, will come down and smash this fourth kingdom. Well, how's God going to do it? Is Jesus going to come back and smash this kingdom? Yes, in human beings. And the kingdoms, the strongholds of Satan are pulled down by the preaching of the gospel that God does while he's living inside the human body. So we're the ones that God is using in these last days. The Christ in us with the Father by the Spirit is smashing the toes of the Antichrist, which is the Roman Catholic, the Antichrist regime from Rome, and all the cults, other cults that have joined her, like the Lutherans and these other large religions. Now, the Lord's people, they never have huge churches like this, like they do, because there's so many people that are so fearful to be persecuted. But when Christ is living in you, you don't care because you really know you're saved. The fearful and unbelieving are the ones that are religious and they've never been born again yet. And they're so afraid to die. I reckon it's because they know that the Lord isn't in them, and if he doesn't get in you or live in them, he will. You'll wind up in hell. So you must be born again. No matter what your problem is, if you're not able to keep New Year's resolutions and do the will of, but mainly do the will of the Lord, that's because the Spirit of God is not in you. Christ hasn't yet entered you, and you're on your own, and it's just hard in this world to be on your own. Because all you're doing is dog paddling, and sometimes the water is up to your nose, and then all of a sudden you sink above the nose, and you're fighting, and then you dog paddle harder and faster. You can't make ends meet. The finances are cut off. There's no blessing from God on your life. But when the Lord lives inside you, you have the blessings of God on your life. And, you know, sure, people are going to lie about you, but don't they lie about you now? Huh? People lied about me. They were so jealous because I was so good at publicity and promotion and stuff like that. And they lied about me because maybe I had real cool hair or something like that. You know, cool hair, you know. They get jealous about anything and they'll lie about you, you know. I used to have people call right in and says, "Does Tony wear a toupe?" I didn't even answer him. Okay, now what do you got there?
The Word of God tells us that all the millions of people who had the Spirit of God living in them from the beginning up till now are called Christians, the building of God. Why? Because God in the Spirit of Jesus is living in every one of them. This means every one of them is part of God's building, cemented together with God's Spirit.
Is building his body and his bride. We all together, we must have the same spirit, the same mind. And people, the reason that I know so many Christians have fallen away from the Lord is because they don't recognize, they don't want to admit that we are of the Lord, because there have been so many false things said about us that they don't want to associate with us. I'm telling you, people, you know, that you're not part of the body. If you're fearful and unbelieving, you should have helped us when we were being attacked so severely. We're not, so far, I mean, in the last few months they haven't attacked us so severely, I guess because it's like the Lord said, if you put this literature out, they will not be able to destroy you. But still, they've left an indelible lies on your soul, on your mind. And so you've got to shake that off and get right with the Lord and come and visit us, you know. Everybody used to when we were on the air and God was before they sold so many lies about us, that Christians believed that we were Christians. And they, what happened, everybody? Did the devil catch you somewhere down along the line, somewhere along the way? Okay, go ahead.
This is the building where the triune God lives. This is where he works, doing his will through spirit-filled humans, temples. Most people calling themselves Christians are not Christians because God in Jesus is not living or working in them.
In or through them. Okay, keep going.
If he were living and working in them, we would see the work of God being done in them, and we would never see Satan working in them as we do now.
And the work of God is not standing in these large masses of people, millions of them, and just going back and forth and waving, raising their arms up. And now, it's good to raise your arms up and everything. But they're not witnessing. They're not soul winners. They don't preach the gospel. They don't expose Satan. They say, well, we're not supposed to talk bad about anybody. Well, then, if somebody commits adultery, well, you're supposed to forgive them and just let them stay in the church when the Bible says to kick them out. Amen?
Amen.
And when people are liars and they are hurting the church of God, trying to hurt the church of God, the body of Christ, the corporate body of Christ, people just say, well, we have to forgive them. But no, the 11th chapter of Revelation tells us to put them out, outside with the Gentiles. Measure them up. If they don't measure up with the... Because if you don't do that, it's a lawless society. They're saying we not to persecute murderers. This is Antichrist. Murderers, if they murder somebody, they have to, the law is for the lawless, amen?
Amen.
The law said, the Lord said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came here to fulfill it. Well, what did he say about that woman that was caught in adultery? He says, yeah, stone her to death, but make sure it's one of you that has not committed, that you're free from sin. The Lord never took that away. He says, go ahead. Well, all of them, they probably committed adultery with her. And so they couldn't. But the law prescribes that people are that commit murder should be put to death, like the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
All right? And if you steal, you have to give back a sevenfold. You know, people have stolen people's souls. They have to give back sevenfold by lies. Okay, keep going.
Everything connected with God's business, including the building or temple of God, totally depends on Jesus, who is the tree of life. Any deep student of the Bible will see that Jesus, the tree of life, is the tree man must eat to have God's life in him.
The tree man must eat from to have God's life in him. Now, the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden, and that was actually symbolic of Christ. And we can have the tree of life again. The kingdom of heaven is within, and the tree of life is in the kingdom of heaven. And the tree of life is Jesus. He said, I am the life. Amen?
Amen.
And he likens himself as unto a tree, and all of us as trees. He said, and if we don't bear fruit, now Jesus bears fruit. In other words, his word brings forth souls. And he wants us to use his word to bring forth souls too. He wants us to do that, and that's what he called us to do, not to sit idle. He said, because we're going to be judged by the works we do. And he says, take my yoke upon you, because it's easy and light. What is the Lord's work? His work, his yoke, is to win souls. He doesn't tell us to sit down that he did it all. He said, we are to go and preach the gospel to all the nations, all the kingdoms, all the kindreds of the world, every tongue, okay? That's why I have my literature published in all different languages, in the African languages, and in the India languages, in the Russian and Hebrew, all the different languages. Okay, keep going.
This fact is mentioned throughout the entire Bible. How do we eat God into us, and where is the tree of life? In the second chapter of Genesis...
Well, let me tell you, the tree of life is the word of God. How we can eat the tree from the tree of life, because Jesus is the word. And he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. A whole gang of people that were following him got offended by that saying, and they went away from him and didn't walk with him any longer. And this verse is John 6:66. That's the Antichrist, 666. So... he says, so we can eat from the tree of life by just simply reading the word of God. Because the word, he says, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. And he's the tree of life. And so we eat the fruit. He says his body is the word. And his blood is the word. And he says, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. And so when you're drinking his spirit... His spirit is likened, symbolized in the Bible by water, spiritual water. And so you can be eating. The tree of life is the Bible. Now, the Bible is not just a book. The Bible is God. All you got to do to eat God and to drink God, or the tree of life, is to open your Bible and start reading it. Amen?
Amen.
And then you're eating from the tree of life. People that don't read the Bible, they're saying, well, you know, I don't read enough. What you're doing is dying. If you don't read the word, and if you don't do what the word says, like pray without ceasing, then you don't have life. You're cutting your own throat. You're cutting your spirit off from the tree of life, just as Adam and Eve did. They cut themselves off from the tree of life. Why should we cut ourselves off from the tree of life when it's right here in your hands, your Bible, the King James Version? Don't use these study Bibles. There's a lot of good things that they say in the study Bibles, But if you're not really versed in the Word of God, stay away from them because there's a lot of fallacy in there. Okay? Well, I can see that our time is up today. And so if you want to be saved, to have the life of God in you, the life of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you can do that right now. See, the Word of God is so simple that even a child can understand it. You can just eat from the tree of life from now and on for the rest of your entire life. And you can win souls by just preaching from the Word that you learn. And also from the tapes and the pieces of literature that I've written. But first step is to get to break down this middle wall of partition between you and God, and that is so that his hand can be in yours, and so his entire being can be in you. You can do that by just saying this prayer. Now, say it to God, though, with all your heart and soul, as much as you have. Say to him now. And if you're driving a car, pull over to the side of the road. Or if you can't, then say the prayer anyway, and he'll save you just the same. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of my sins, because the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can take away our sins. Lighting candles can't do it. Saying Hail Marys or Our Fathers cannot do it. Paying money cannot do it. Only the blood of Jesus takes away the sins of the world. I believe you're the Son of the living God and that you died on the cross and shed your precious blood that my sins could be washed away, all my former sins. I open up the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I invite you into my heart. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow because there's going to be some more of this piece of literature. We'll have more letters for you and more from the Tree of Life tomorrow. So until then, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.